Because just see the example. I mean, it was not, we say in German, it was not getürkt. It was not, I didn't intentionally cheat you. I thought it might work. But see, there is something going on here. The connection is not going on. The translation of the slideshow, which is in the hard drive of the computer, onto the screen doesn't work. So Gaurahari will now have to work on this thing of alignment, to bring it together, to bring the machinery together so that we can view. The slideshow is there, it's perfect. I mean, it's as good as we can do it. But it doesn't go into reality. It doesn't go where we want to see it, where we want to experience it. It doesn't go to the screen. So the holy name is also perfect. But somehow, if we are not aligned, if the body and especially the mind and the heart are not where they should be when we chant, then it doesn't come to an actual viewing of the holy name, doesn't come to a perception of the holy name. We won't sign the verse Nama Chintamani Krishnas by our experience. This verse we heard this morning, that the name and the named, or Krishna and Krishna, are not different. As long as there is not, we don't bring ourselves to the practice of chanting properly. So, yes, this morning I was very happy to hear how Giriraj Maharaj, amongst all the other wonderful points, spoke about offenses as blocking the mercy of the holy name. It doesn't get to us. Our Yagya Purusha Prabhu gave us helpful suggestions. He first of all took us into a miserable experience, or misery-producing experience. We all felt disconnected at the end of the experience. We felt, someone said in one word, a cheater, because he introduced us to what type of chanting? Yes, that's bad chanting. This is the computer who's not aligned, or the beamer who's not aligned. Huh? That doesn't happen. And we really felt, Krishna. Then he gave us some very good suggestions on building the foundations of our japa, that is, entering a sacred space, and we all explored what a sacred space could be for us. He talked about the right pronunciation. He only mentioned one thing. In level 2, he will talk more about this. He said, very diligently pronounce the holy name. Prabhupada, he wrote in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the chanting is an activity which involves the upper and the lower lip. I always thought only Germans speak with the upper and the lower lip. But the mantra chanting is meant to pronounce the sound, and for this you need the sound factory, the entire building, upper, lower lip and tongue. So then he told us something about posture. And at this point, I want to also say something. Because we will soon go into an exercise, and I feel it's important in my exercise, where I will even bring you into the realm of mind control a little. Uh, I want to read you something from Baladev Vidyabhushana's commentary to the Vedanta Sutra. He says in Adhikarana number 6, this is a division of Vedanta Sutra, is good sitting posture compulsory in every japa or recitation, or is it optional? So the doubter, Puvaka, makes now a case that it's not important to have a proper posture. He says, the recitation of Om is a mental process. No particular bodily postures are absolutely necessary for the due carrying on of any mental process. No, you can think when you sit and you can think when you walk. Therefore, you can chant also when you sit and when you walk. Therefore, the asana posture taught in the above Shruti is not compulsory. Now, this view will now be addressed. And the Vedanta Sutra says, let him recite the name of the Lord Hari in a sitting posture, for prayer is possible in that posture only. Now the commentary of Baladev Vidyabhushana. Lord Hari should be meditated upon by the devotee in a sitting posture. Why? Because meditation is possible only when one is sitting. It is not possible when one is lying or falling down or in standing or walking. Meditation is possible only when one is quietly seated. And then there are many verses from the Shruti which all say that dhyana or japa meditation can be performed only by him who is in a sitting posture and not in any other state. The next sutra makes it still more clear. My dear devotees, I don't want to take you now into the brain-taxing argumentation of Vedanta Sutra and its comments by Baladev Vidyabhushana. It's a very, very convincing that we must sit properly. In the end, again, a question is raised, but is it not possible to do japa when walking? You know, maybe the person who asked this question is a person amongst, you know, who's in our situation, that we fall asleep when we sit, or we have, our muscles are so atrophied as we become older that whenever we sit for a prolonged time, we get sciatic nerve problems and so on. And then Baladev Vidyabhushana served this type of audience, and he says, wherever you can concentrate best, there you can do it like that. So from this we glean that sitting is very much the preferred bodily posture, because it is in sitting that there is peace, and the body is not in the most sattvic situation. When we walk or when we sleep, the body is moved by rajas and tamas, and it's much easier to go into go from sattva into mind control than to go from rajas or tamas. However, if we are just so tired, like I had one japa call conference where a devotee told me, I have to work, what was it, 16 hours a day, and I can sleep only 4 hours, and then I have to cook and do everything else, you know. Maharaj, what is with me? And I said, obviously, if you would try to sit down to do your japa, it wouldn't work. But I said to the devotee, maybe you should align your life. When you sit down, and the next thing is you're fast asleep, you don't live a very stress-free life. When you need to hang yourself upside the feet to stay awake, then this is maybe not natural, your life, which you do. Or when you get pain the moment you sit, then maybe you need to do some stretching to stretch your muscles. And I do know, believe me, I talk from personal experience. I sat for 10 years for 1 month and didn't move, and then afterwards I needed to go to a clinic because I had such sciatic problems. I could be called carried on a stretcher, and in the clinic they told me, young man, what are you doing? Too much meditation, maybe. I said, well, I thought it's good. And then they looked at me, how I sit, and said, well, if you sit like this, then that is the sciatic pain is the predictable result. And if you don't do any stretching, because the muscles are atrophying, then it doesn't work. Have you noticed all those who sit always like this on a chair? This type of muscle goes, which is not stretching like this, will go small. Therefore, truck drivers can never sit even for 1 minute in the tailor seat, crossing the leg, cross-legged, because the muscles are shrinking, because they are always in one position, which is not how our bodies are constructed. Even yogis who sit the whole day, they do their yoga asanas. And in previous times, yoga and bhakti was connected. It was disconnected after the alvas because people tend to become body consciousness conscious with the yoga. But I feel if you do a little exercise, especially as you get older, to stay in shape for your devotional service, it's something to seriously consider. Now, I know when Gaga Muni, who had a very impressive protruding belly, walked with Srila Prabhupada on Juhu Beach, he once laughed about these people who always do yoga exercises. I think we all know them. And Prabhupada said, no, you should also do some exercise. If you just sit and eat, you will sleep. Hare Krishna. So I want to make a strong case for sitting properly. Some devotees have said, Prabhupada saying on the japa tape, sit properly, was referring to a devotee who went into the American relax posture. and therefore, is only a response to an impossible situation. But I was present in two occasions where Prabhupada was lecturing. One was in Amsterdam, and all of a sudden he went like this on his Vyasasan, and he said, don't sit like this, sit properly. Then he went like that back to his position. And there were other things, because it's just physics, my dear devotees. When you sit, the idea is the spine should be tall. Like this, some helpful energies come. If you sit like this, you will get tired. You can't help it. It's like getting into a hot bathing tub. You will also become hot. So if you sit in this position, you will become tired and mental. The mind will become more restless. Whereas like this, there's a steady flow of physical energy and it will go. So if you have to sit on a chair, you can sit tall, straight, and then it will be much easier for you to sit for long amounts of time or for the time when you do japa and remain concentrated. It's physics. It's not spiritual. I'm very sorry. Spiritual things will come in a moment. Today is the day where we will align the body and mostly the body. Today is the most tiresome day, most probably also for you. Tomorrow and the day after tomorrow, we will, at least in myself, I will talk very spiritually. Today I just want to get a little things out of the way so that you can that you don't do always the same mistakes and then wonder why you can't concentrate and why you can't stay with the mantra. You must know that your mind is driven by two functions, almost like a generator who's never silent. The mind is worked by an energy within it, which is called sankalpa and vikalpa. It accepts things and rejects things. Most probably while I'm sitting here and you're listening to me, your mind says, Sachinandan Swami, we are not little children. Why do you talk so authoritatively? This totally frustrates me in you. That was called rejection or acceptance. Oh, that was a good joke. That was nifty. The mind talks and accepts it, something. You might have noticed when you meet somebody and immediately the mind starts to talk to you, this person looks like a horse. Or this person looks highly attractive to my taste. Let me make friendship with this person. The mind is constantly never-ending generator, which generates in two modus operandi, accepting and rejection, almost like a generator which makes electrical current, and it has a minus and a plus thing. I think it's called AC and DC, isn't it, in America? Yeah. So your mind produces AC-DC, accepting and rejecting constantly without any interruption. It's a constant spinning wheel, and most of us are very, very subjected to this. In japa, also, we will sometimes accept our practice and like it very much and smile, and then, so hard, so much desert. You will see some of it on your 64-ounce day. Now, from a spiritual position, the happy smile and the frustrated response, it's both the same thing, a mental production. It's both equally insignificant and unspiritual. Although, usually, happiness is a little bit more sattvic and encourages us to go on, whereas distress is a little bit different and brings a tamasic response of, no, I leave this. But it's both mental. It's both not spiritual. It's both produced by the generator of the mind. The japa chanter wants to go to another place. And therefore, I very much liked, I always like Giriraj Maharaj's lecture. Today, I liked very much where he alluded to something What Krishna sometimes does with his devotees, he disappears and watches the devotees, what they do at that time. Like when he disappeared from the rasa dance, and the gopis started to search for him, and he told them at the end he was nearby all the time. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes to this beautiful purport where he says, those who chant the holy name must know that sometimes Krishna disappears, but he watches us. He watches our struggle. It's good if we continue to struggle even when our mind is in the DC mood, like Washington DC. That means the minus mood. Rejection. I don't like it. If you keep on going, from Krishna is knowing here is a devotee who really wants me, and then he rewards you sufficiently. So, but we want to fix our mind, obviously, so that we are no longer in this accepting and rejecting mode. And for this, there is one time-proven process. Let me see if we have it. Manu, would you like to put the Hare Krishna mantra on? In this process, the devotee uses the eyes and fixes them on the written letters of the holy name. There is a psychology wherever the eyes go, that's where the mind goes. If I do now this, and your eyes see this movement, the mind will ask, well, what is going on? What is? Does he mean me? Does he want to get attention? It's very natural. Therefore, in Bharatanatyam dance, the dancer will move, the eyes of the audience will move, and the educated audience will see a story which the dancer portrays or paints before his eyes. So, in the Traktaka meditation, we look at the written words of the Hare Krishna mantra and fix our mind through our gaze, through our drishti. Drishti means the concentrated gaze, and make it still. We want to silence the generator, the AC-DC function of the material energy which streams right through our mind. And we want to make a spiritual or transcendental experience. This experience is so powerful that Gaur Kishore Das Babaji once dictated, I heard he didn't write personally, but he dictated a letter to his Grihastha disciples where he said, while you chant, you should look at the written letters of the holy name, and if you do so, Radha and Krishna will manifest from them. There are many mantra signs, at the most, let me say, outstanding mantra traktaka is Virachanda Goswami, he's Chirodakaishai Vishnu, the son of Lord Nityananda. And he had worshipped personally a stone in which the letters of the mantra were engraved. And he chanted and looked at this. Now, I would like to take you through this experience with me. Please take your feedback. I will give you a few instructions while we do this process, and try to do this. Are you alive or do you need a stretch? A stretch. All right.